Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the program. I'm Tim Wildman. The panel is, what do panels do? They're seated. that didn't sound like they're doing much, though. Ed Vitagliano, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Seated right here to your left.
Dr. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning, Ray.
So Ray really isn't doing much.
Well,
he's seated. He's not even talking.
He gives us a silent treatment every once in a while just to make a point, I guess. Are we having a hard time hooking up? We did yesterday, too. Must be the weather between here and KC. How you doing, Fred Jackson?
Yeah, I was going to say it must be the weather. The lines are frozen. The air is frozen.
Yeah.
We have Russian interference in our weather, folks. That's our top story today, because the weather guys are saying an Arctic air mass that started in Siberia.
There you go. Investigate that, Democrats. Get you a new one. After this impeachment thing's over, let's start with the weather and Trump coming from Russia. Siberia, no less.
Record-breaking.
There's Ray. Ray, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
I don't know. We had a little difficulty getting you.
That was my fault. Okay. While the music was coming on, I tried to move a cord, and everything blew up.
That'll teach you.
Don't mess with the cords.
That's right.
Okay, weather check for Kansas City, Kansas today.
It was 9 degrees a couple hours ago. Mm. Right now it's a balmy 15.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
15 degrees.
Now, you're an avid cyclist. At what point do you say, not going to do this?
About 48 hours ago.
I mean, what's your temperature line?
If it gets much below 30, it's pretty tough, and into the low 20s. That's kind of what got me in trouble earlier in the year when I had my bicycle wreck.
So. That's what I said. I was about to say his temperature line has changed since earlier in the year.
That's exactly right, Ed.
I broke your leg in three places or something.
A little more sensible or something, so. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little chilly right now to be going out. You know, so there's some ice out there. So we've had snow and ice the last 24 hours. It's bright, sunny, and that kind of tricks you into thinking, hey, it's great. But the snow and ice is everywhere.
I was looking at our Today's Issues Facebook page last night and saw some folks commenting on the weather in South Dakota.
They're probably mocking us right
now,
aren't
they? They do. But you get I don't 9 degrees, whatever you said, Ray. That's cold. I don't care wherever you are.
Right. I don't care who you are. That 9 degrees is cold. Yeah. When you're in single digits, it's cold.
It's cold. Plus the wind chill factor. Ed.
That's right.
All right. Much to discuss today. Ed, if folks do want to join us on Facebook or YouTube, how can they do that?
Well, please? They can go to Facebook or YouTube and simply search for Today's Issues. Click through, and you will see our sometimes smiling faces. We smile now. When we get into the news, we usually aren't. Brent, where's the camera that we should? This one right here. So we wave.
Say hello to
folks.
Everybody.
That's right. Thank you for joining us.
By the way, somebody asked about our boost in our signal in Columbus, Ohio, Brent. So if we could answer that question, where we are on the dial there, because we did increase our power in Columbus, and we're going to get about a third more population.
Wow, that's great.
And we already have a big listening audience in the greater Columbus area, and we've got some great folks who support us and pray for us who live there. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, what's your top story right now?
Well, as we begin our program today, the justices of the United States Supreme Court are hearing arguments over the DACA program. You kind of remember that, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program?
Right.
That was initiated by former President Barack Obama. Basically, over 600,000 is the number right now. These are kids that came into the country illegally with their moms and dads, and
but they're not. They came over supposedly as children.
Yes.
Slash kids, as you say, mm-hmm. but now they might be in their
20s or
20s. Well, they could be any age,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Right, and they've essentially grown up here.
They've grown up, but they don't have legal status right. Now. DACA gave them temporary legal status. Remember, this was an executive order from the president.
Legal status, not voting status, not citizenship. That's just right. Legal right. status.
Legal status. Well, President Trump, when he came into office, he challenged that. Now, you will remember, he didn't say send them all back. What he did say, he wanted to make a deal with the Democrats. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was increasing it beyond that $600,000 in exchange for money to build the wall.
Right.
And remember, the Democrats turned that down. So let's be very clear about this.
Which showed you they really didn't care about these DACA
That's correct. Folks. And they even got some blowback for a while.
Yes.
From some of these DACA kids or young people.
Saying, wait a minute.
Yeah, I thought, don't you care about us?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the United States Supreme Court hearing this today, the stories leading up to the hearing today have to do with Chief Justice Roberts. He is the pivotal point, everybody believes. You know, if you've got four liberals, four somewhat conservatives. So Justice Roberts, where he's going to come down on this. Now, we won't get the decision on this probably until June of next year.
Right.
So we're waltzing into the election campaign when this decision is going to come out.
What's the decision, by the way? Well, maybe so. Now, sometimes when I mentioned this yesterday, when the Supreme Court hears cases in the fall,
mm-hmm.
they'll release decisions in February.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but then they're hearing, if they're hearing cases in January, February, and March, they release their decisions in the summer. But just to be clear, and then Ray, I'd like you to jump in here, but what are they deciding exactly?
They're decided, because the President Trump decided to end DACA, various groups took that decision by President Trump to the courts, and the lower courts have said the president doesn't have the right to extinguish that.
An executive order?
That's what the courts have said. You just
can't
do that. Well,
constitutionally, I'm no expert. I wish Abe were here to talk about this. Maybe we can discuss this tomorrow, Abraham Hamilton III, who is a constitutional attorney. However, it just makes sense to me that if you have an executive order, which is not a law, and it's a de facto law, I guess you could say, but it's not a duly debated and passed law in the Congress signed by the president, an executive order can be reversed. And they are all the time.
Right.
Every time we have a Democrat-Republican come into office, they always do all these executive orders for, 2 days,
mm-hmm.
reversing everything the executive order from the
right.
previous president had
and then
done.
Doing their own.
Right. So this, again, it doesn't mean what the Supreme Court's not going to necessarily decide, because we've all seen them decide things that weren't constitutional. But I'm just saying executive orders can be reversed, and I don't even see why this is even a point. Now, Ray, we mentioned this yesterday. The president, you know, he did offer the Democrats and the DACA, I don't know what to call them, DACA folks.
Right.
I mean, yeah. The DACA folks, DACA recipients, the Democrats' opportunity to give them a pathway to citizenship, but the Democrats didn't want President Trump to get border wall funding that they did not take up the cause of these kids.
So this is a case where the president wanted to make a deal.
Yes.
And the Democrats are the ones who walked away from it. So instead of Trump being the hard-headed one, so to speak, as
right.
he's often portrayed, or uncaring, he basically said to the other side, let's make a deal, let's work something out. They walked away from it. So is the Trump administration, are they simply asking that the Obama executive order be reversed? Or are they wanting to put something else in its place? Or does it just go back to the status beforehand?
Well, the president has said that if the Supreme Court, let me just read this. He tweeted this morning, the president, that if the Supreme Court overturns the immigrants' protections, quote, a deal will be made with Dems for them to stay. All right. So he is even this morning saying that.
To stay where?
To stay in the country, here. I have to assume. What he's saying is that if the Supreme Court goes along with me so that DACA ends, we'll still make a deal. I'm open to making a deal with the Dems on this.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying this morning, the president.
I think what the Democrats would say, what they would say is we don't negotiate on basic human rights. Okay. So we're not going to negotiate with President Trump about a wall. I'm just telling you what they would say.
Right.
When we're talking about basic human rights for these kids who have been here, brought to America and grown up here with no quote fault of their own. You see what I'm saying? I think that's what they would say. But again, despite the fact that they were brought here, or in spite of, I'm not sure, or maybe spite's not the right word, they're still illegal. Mm. Okay. And now with President Obama did, he gave them legal status. Again, he did not give them citizenship. He could not do that. And they don't have voting rights, but they can be here known, right? Mm-hmm.
This is a real problem for these young people because, and again, I don't know what to call them either, because they've grown up here. Mm-hmm. Some of them don't even know how to speak Mexican, for example. So they don't have a home in Mexico. They have nowhere to go. So the American people, as much as this may aggravate folks who believe in law and order, which we do,
yeah,
you can't just toss them over the border and say, well, go find a town and learn the language and make a nice life for yourself. The American people aren't going to want that to happen. So
I think the Democrats know that,
yeah,
too. And you know, we're all four of us in favor of law and order, border control, immigration control. We've got to get this back in, I mentioned yesterday, and I know there are people that disagree listening to us right now, but you're going to have to make some kind of accommodation.
It's not going to work to take, I don't know how many millions this is, but whatever that number is, it's a big number. Nobody, no thoughtful American wants to see these millions of whatever age they are, teenagers, young adults, suddenly shipped out of the country.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. The president's right. Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal.
On the other hand, the Democrats are so zeroed in to impeachment and getting Trump out, I wouldn't be surprised if they would say, we're not making a deal with an illegitimate president either. Mm. We'll wait till he gets out of office and then we'll do something.
Right. Now, I think what they could do was they could argue, okay, let's make a deal for a pathway to citizenship.
Right.
That's beyond just saying, well, which I think everybody listening to us agrees, you know, for not to be, you can't send these people back to countries they've never known. Good night. But that doesn't mean they have voting rights or citizenship. Right. So
the fact is both Republicans and Democrats have failed these young people because on one side, we let their parents come in without any repercussions. On the other hand, we let people stay knowing they shouldn't be here. We didn't want to do anything about it. Now these young people are stuck.
Yeah, let's keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is that the Democrat Party, they won't open borders.
Right.
And they want to do away with ICE. They want to do away with border control. They want to do away with any kind of resistance to people coming here.
I mean,
basically, so that's the National Democrat Party. And so if you vote, if the Democrats ever get control of the White House and the Senate and the House again, they will pass amnesty for millions of people, and they'll get open borders. It'll be the end of our country as we know it.
Right.
That's just, and they're proud of that because anything less than that is bigotry.
Yes.
And is Hitler-esque.
That's where their statements have led them. Their rhetoric has led them to that position.
Yeah, that's where they are.
They can't back away from that.
That's
you just described.
Well, Elizabeth Warren the other day said, "I'm open to doing away with deportation."
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Well, that means I'm for it.
That rhetoric, you can't back away. You can't walk that back.
Right. So we don't have borders at all if the Democrats win the presidency.
Right.
And they win the Senate. All right, we want to welcome to our program Dr. Frank Turek. He's here every Tuesday that he can be, and he's the president and founder of Cross-Examined Ministries. And he's heard weekends here on AFR, a very popular program called Cross Examined, 9 o'clock Central Time on Saturday mornings. And Sunday, what time? Huh? 4 o'clock. I'm napping or golfing. I don't listen to Frank on Sunday afternoon. I'm just Frank. How you doing, brother?
Neither does my wife.
He said with great sadness.
And by the way, you know, if the Democrats ever do win the White House again and they open the borders, I bet there will still be a fence around the White House.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, sure. And these Democrats will live in their gated communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, with security guards.
Yeah. Everybody believes in borders. The only question is where.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let me ask you, Frank. I know this is easily it's easily open to sarcasm, right, when we start talking about these things, especially with the, quote, progressives. But mm-hmm. let me ask you this. What is the real reason they think that open borders is a good idea for our country?
Well, I can't really read their hearts. All I can say is because people that predominantly come from south of the border will vote Democrat. I mean, why else would they want that?
It's for creating a permanent. So it's for putting the death nail into the Republican Party.
And giving the Democrats power. I mean, if President Trump were to come out and say, you can have as many people from across the border as you want, I will grant them provisional citizenship, but they can't vote for 100 years, what do you think the Democrats would say?
No way.
Yeah, no way. So they're not really interested in the people. They're just interested in the votes.
Or if the president said, we're gonna seal off the border to Mexico, but we are going to let unlimited numbers of Hungarians and former members of the Czech Communist Republic. We're going to let people who hate communism in Cuba come over here to become American citizens. The Democratic Party would say no to that because they know those folks are not going to tolerate a move to the left that brings socialism.
So really what we're talking about here, and again, I don't mean to be too cynical, but We are talking about the Democrats' desire to see a socially progressive, politically progressive, as they call it. Dave calls it regressive. I think he's right. Mm-hmm. Socialistic, communistic way of life and government. That outweighs whatever the downside is of letting people come here by the millions illegally and making them citizens.
Sure, because, you know, it's been proven to work so well in Venezuela and Russia and North Korea and other places. We want that here.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Now, topic for you today is why good government, secure rights and economic opportunity requires a society that believes in God.
Yeah,
take it away.
Let's go back to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their government with certain unalienable rights. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then, as you know, the Declaration goes on to say that governments are instituted among men to secure these rights. In other words, not to give rights or take away rights, but to secure them. And if the government doesn't secure rights, Jefferson and his colleagues were under the opinion that, well, we have a right to, the people have the right to overthrow their government then and get a new one in. Dwight Eisenhower, when he was president of the United States, so he's already been a five-star general, you know, he was the supreme commander of all Allied forces. When he was president of the United States, said this, he says, if the state gives rights, it can and inevitably will take away those rights. Without God, there would be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. Recognition of the supreme being is the first, the most basic expression of Americanism, unquote. Look, without God, there are no rights. Everything's a matter of opinion. And if a certain group of people get power and they have a different opinion than yours and they want to take away your God-given rights, if the state gives rights, they can take them away, and they will. And so in order to have a society that is prosperous and secures rights, you need to have a government grounded in in God, in the sense that rights come from God. And you have to have people who have the self-restraint enough to believe in God and order their lives according to God. Because if they don't, if they don't have that self-restraint given to them by religion, you know, it was Washington who famously said that religion and morality are indispensable supports of a society. If people don't self-regulate themselves, there's no amount of law that will regulate them. We're ultimately going to have anarchy, and that's the danger of having a government that isn't based on God, nor a society that isn't based on God. That's the problem. People won't self-regulate themselves, and we're going to ultimately have anarchy. Now, I'm not saying we don't have religious freedom. We do have religious freedom.
You have anarchy, or you have totalitarianism.
Yeah, yeah, one of the two. Yeah, totalitarianism.
And usually anarchy precedes totalitarianism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they want a strong man to come in and, right, and reorder things. And so people will give up their liberties in order to just have the security that a strong man can bring. And our government wasn't based on, our government was based on the perfect blend of God and religious freedom. You know, they didn't want to force everybody to try and be part of a church, but they did want to ground the rights in God. So they grounded this country in the moral law consistent with God. They didn't say you had to be a Christian, but they said that our rights come from God and we will have religious freedom as a result of it.
Frank, let me ask you about the Christian faith specifically. Mm-hmm. We hear people discussing about Christianity and socialism and that the two are basically compatible. Does the Christian faith flourish equally well under any system? Or I suppose what I'm asking, does Christianity, when it's truly believed and practiced, does it tend to lead toward socialism or toward free market democracy?
Yeah, I would think the latter because, I mean, let's just say the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. What does that imply? It implies the right to private property, right?
Yeah.
Now, you might say, well, you know, the early Christians lived almost like in a commune for a while. Well, first of all, the government had nothing to do with that. They just decided to share their resources for a short period of time. So it wasn't kind of this government-controlled system where the government owns the means of production like a modern-day socialism would. In order to have prosperity, you have to have people who have the ability to win the fruits of their own labor or to keep the fruits of their own labor. If not, if people are forced to take whatever work they do and put it in a big pot, as William Bradford found out in our early founding, the Pilgrims' founding, then you're going to have the free rider problem. You're going to have people who are not going to work because somebody else is going to work for them. And that does not breed a prosperous society. So prosperity comes when people have at least some ability to keep some of what they earn.
You're listening to Today's Issues. What do you got coming up Saturday? Do you know yet?
Yes, we're going to have the great David Limbaugh on his new book. And his new book is titled Guilty by Reason of Insanity. We're going to look at what the Democrats are now presenting as their policy positions. And we're just going to let people know what they are and they can decide what to do with it.
If you had to guess today, a year from now, you think we have a new president or you think President Trump wins? I know it's a long way away and you can change your mind between now and then. If it were held today, what do you think would happen?
If it were held today, I don't see anybody on the Democrat side that can go up against Trump, but as you say, Tim, that could change tomorrow. Right now it seems, even with an unfair media, it seems like Trump would win, but who knows?
Okay.
What do you think?
Yes, today I agree with you. I think Trump would win. If the election were today, Trump would win.
I think it would still be close.
Yeah.
Yes, because we're a divided country. Yes. So you got a lot of people who are anybody but Trump.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put a monkey up there. I'll vote for a monkey over Trump. I mean, a lot of people have that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back in a minute. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Take care. Dr. Frank Turek, everybody. We shall return. Sandy Rios will be with us in a few moments. And we got some evangelicals and Southern Baptists who are basically for amnesty. We'll be back.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
The Lord's desire is for our families not to be afterthought, not to be just those who receive the leftovers of a spent day, but that we understand serving our families is ministry. And so we should endeavor to minister well.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Our spiritual heritage tours are coming up in 2020 in June and September. I'm just going to go through the days here that and what we see. On Wednesday, we go out to dinner at Old Town Alexandria, and we go to the World War II Memorial. On Thursday, we go to the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Lincoln Memorial, and the Korean and Vietnam Memorials. On Friday, we go to the Iwo Jima Memorial, Arlington National Cemetery, the White House, Jefferson Memorial, National Archives, and on Saturday, we go to Mount Vernon. Okay, so there you go. I got it all in. You can go and read about all this at our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. That's our Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour in June, and then another one in September. And then we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip. So go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
Former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley makes an explosive charge in her new memoir. She alleges that former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly tried to undermine President Trump. Haley said they specifically tried to block the president's decision to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal and the Paris Climate Accord. The Washington Post obtained an advance copy of her new book, titled With All Due Respect. Tillerson and Kelly also opposed the relocation of the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. Haley said she was shocked that two of the most important people in the administration were undermining the president. Shocking indeed that there were never Trumpers in the Trump White House. Clearly, Rex Tillerson and John Kelly proved that some of the creatures lurking in that D.C. swamp are rhinos, Republicans in name only. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. As Ed told you earlier, you can check us out on Facebook or YouTube. And you can the stories that we talk about, we post on our Facebook page, so you can have the original sources of the information that we use for our topics here. You can also engage with the other listeners on the program there, and we try to respond to questions.
Every once in a while.
Yeah. Brent Creeley. But we encourage
for,
you.
For example, I do want to respond to Joanna on Facebook, and she is correct. She said, Ed, FYI, people from Mexico speak Spanish, not Mexican. So I did.
You said Mexican?
I said Mexican.
You embarrassed our family.
You said, I was thinking about eating Mexican food, and I misspoke.
Yeah,
I took 3 years of Spanish in high school. Apparently, didn't.
And you probably got a Mexican friend.
Bueno.
You probably got a Mexican friend that's supposed to cover you for that error, right?
Thank you, Joetta. You are correct. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, Ray Pritchard's with us in Kansas City. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Fred Jackson. Sandy Rios will be with us in a few minutes. What do you got?
Well, this is we got National Collection Week underway through November 25th. No, this is for Operation Christmas Child.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. National Collection Week, where we applaud bill collectors all over the country. Say thank you for the job that you've done
No. Well, we have Veterans Day. We have Bill Collector's Day.
This is for Operation Christmas Child, folks. Now through November 25th is National Collection Week. So, or I guess it's coming up here. So I do want to, I should have said it that way instead, instead of starting
every
off.
Time you say collection, now I'm going to laugh. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sending the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. That's right. We're talking about the Christmas shoebox season. Pack your shoebox now with any standard size shoebox and drop it off during the third week of November. That's this year. That's November 18th through the 25th. Many churches are collecting those right now. Just for more information on National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child, just visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That stands for Operation
not
Christmas
AOC.
Child. No, no, not AOC. OCC. To learn more and to find a drop-off location near you, as well as information about what to put in the shoebox, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Yeah, don't be putting lottery tickets in there. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that'll help anybody.
No, it will not.
All right. Before we get to Sandy, Sandy Real is going to join us momentarily. I wanted to we were talking about where the Democrats stood on illegal immigration and open borders, and they are, the Democrats are, some of them are just straight up open borders. Some of them put caveats, or I'm for this or I'm for that, but I'm not for this or I'm for that, which is but the de facto position, if not the open position, of the National Democrat Party. They do not believe in borders. So the practical implication of that is, obviously, people can come here by the millions and no deterrent. That's because to put up any kind of a deterrent, according to the Democrats, is inhumane and xenophobic. And so where that leads, I think we all know, anybody with common sense knows that leads to disaster for our country. That's why so many people have signed up with President Trump on controlling and securing the borders. Now, there is a group, Fred, there's a group of people who are Christians. Evangelical Christians, mm-hmm. who seems to me like they're siding with the Democrats on this deal. Who are we talking about? Well, what are we talking about here?
This group, about 80, met last week.
What are they called?
Well, some of them are the Evangelical Roundtable on Immigration.
Okay.
But the group of 80 that met last week goes beyond that group. They met in advance of this Supreme Court case that's being heard today that we talked about a little bit earlier. Now, what they're for, what they call a restitution-based immigration reform, and they say a couple of times in this story from Christian Post, it's not amnesty, it's not amnesty.
Right.
Well, I'll leave it up to you to decide.
A rose by any other name is still a rose.
Yes. One of the things they would support is that you have to confess you did something wrong if you're in the country illegally. And also, they would give up to 7 years that you make some kind of fine or penalty repayment.
Are these lawmakers? Who are these people?
These
evangelical leaders.
Evangelical.
On the left.
Well, they're being very.
Although Sammy Rodriguez is not a.
No.
They're being very specific about left. What they.
But I don't know what would happen if the person didn't pay the fine.
Nothing.
What then?
Nothing. Right.
But anyway, one of the people participating in this meeting last week, a fairly well-known individual that we've mentioned from time to time, is Russell Moore. He is the head of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
Ed didn't invite him over for Thanksgiving.
No.
Now, here's what he had to say. Instead of just sticking to this plan that they talked about, he had to enter racism into the discussion.
Let me again repeat for those who don't know and are not Southern Baptists, or even a lot of Southern Baptists maybe are unfamiliar with this. Dr. Russell Moore heads up what's called
the
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Mm-hmm. They're in Nashville, and they are a branch or an arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. They speak for the Southern Baptist Convention when it comes to a lot of moral issues and ethical issues, religious freedom issues. And the ERLC, they are right on, and they would be in agreement with us on probably 75-80% of all the moral issues out there. So they do some good work. We're not going to say that they don't. However, the problem is Dr. Russell Moore, who heads it up now for about 3 years, on this issue of immigration, he is on the wrong side. And I want you to listen to how he frames. This is why I want to set this up, Fred.
Yes.
I wanted to you to set this up because on this issue, it's how things oftentimes are phrased or framed. And this is what Dr. Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist Convention, this is the way he frames it.
Quote, "An evangelical Christian who despises immigrants is an evangelical who is self-defeating and self-loathing. Most of the body of Christ on earth now, not to mention in heaven, is not white, is not middle class, is not American, and doesn't speak English." He goes on to say, "Most of the places where God is the most at work in the United States of America right now is in the first and second generation immigrant communities. Most of the most evangelicalistic campus ministries are being led by first and second generation immigrant evangelical Christians. I think we need to be aware of what is actually happening around us in order to receive that gratitude and be able to stand together."
Okay, is that the end of quote?
End of quote.
Because Ed's head's about to spin off his shoulder.
Yes.
Yes, please, folks who are watching on Facebook or YouTube, you might want to turn away because...
Read that first couple sentences again from Russell Moore. Then, Ed, I want you to respond, Ray to respond, and then we will move on to Sandy here.
"An evangelical Christian who despises immigrants is an evangelical who is self-defeating and self-loathing. Most of the body of Christ on earth now, not to mention in heaven, is not white, is not middle class, is not American, and doesn't speak English."
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, this is where my daughter learned how to roll her eyes, because that's what I do when I hear Russell Moore. This guy is infuriating on this issue. There's two or three or four straw men
in that
statement.
Right.
Okay. But before I get to the straw men, I want to point out, as you mentioned, he makes this into a racial issue because he knows for even evangelicals on the left, but especially for the Washington Post, who adores Russell Moore, okay, this is the kind of stuff they live for, okay? Yes. Now, I don't know a single evangelical Christian who believes in securing our border who despises immigrants. I don't know a single evangelical who believes in securing the border and who is opposed to illegal immigration who thinks that most of the people in heaven are white or speak English or are American or middle class. That is a pack of lies. And what's sad is that the leftist evangelicals are beginning to lie about us as much as the pagans.
Yes.
That is a smear and a slander for anyone who does not agree with illegal immigration or a strong, secure border. It is a slander, and Russell Moore ought to apologize for it, and he ought to apologize to Southern Baptists.
Yeah, who he purports to represent.
That's right.
Yeah, who pay his salary.
Who he does represent.
And let me just say one other thing, because you guys got me all fired up. When he first took over at the ERLC, he said things about us. Right. And about talk radio, we offered two or three times to meet with him.
Right.
We offered to drive up to his his office in Nashville. We have reached out to him several times.
Right.
He has given us nothing, hasn't even acknowledged us, but he acknowledges us when he wants to smear somebody.
I think the Southern Baptist Convention needs a change at the top of that organization.
He should be fired for his tactics.
What he just did right there. Mm-hmm. Ray, go ahead.
In the first place, first of all, Ed, well done. Well done. But beyond that, the statement doesn't make any sense. I agree, Ed, with the major point you made, which is that I go around the country. I speak to Christians in many different places. I don't know a single one. I don't know a single layperson. I certainly don't know a Christian leader anywhere who despises immigrants. So that's the straw man at the foundation of everything he said. And second, to bring up the fact that heaven is going to be diverse, which we're glad of, as some from every tongue, every nation, every tribe, Revelation 7, it's a great biblical truth. There's going to be that the body of Christ is multicolored and multi-ethnic around the world, and you guys have seen it, I've seen it. That's a wonderful thing. But what does that have to do with American immigration policy? Nothing at all. So it's a whole bunch of straw men tied together to, I think, to make us look bad for saying we want a reasonable policy that would defend the that would correct the situation on our southern border. We're not bigots for saying that. We're simply saying,
oh yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. According to Dr. Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention, you are a bigot. And as and we believe there's only white folks in heaven.
Right.
But basically what he's saying. I mean, this is so crazy. This is a doctor.
Yes.
He taught at a seminary.
Yes.
Southeastern Seminary.
Southern Seminary in Louisville.
Southern Seminary. Mm-hmm. He's a protege of Dr. Al Mohler.
That's right.
Basically. And so, again, he's smarter than this. He knows what he's doing here. He's pandering to an audience that he's speaking to, and he's saying, I'm not like those haters. Like American Family Radio people or conservative Christians. I'm not like them.
The conservative Christians who voted for Donald Trump.
That's what he didn't say that, but that's what he is. That's what he is saying here, is that I'm not like them. And you're right. What I'm saying is why he could have spoken at this thing and made his points or his positions without using these, what he knows to be, straw man,
right,
to make his case. Where was that quote again? That was so ridiculous.
Yeah,
I gotta get his blood pressure going here again. Listen to this. This is from Dr. Russell Moore.
La 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 la.
He's putting his hands over his ears. Again, this guy is in his office. They're paid Southern Baptists. If you tithe, you pay for this guy.
That's right.
You pay for his office, and I guess he's not accountable to anybody. I mean, he is. He does have a board, but they probably all agree with him. But this is his quote. And Ed, you're right. He should apologize for this. Quote, an evangelical Christian who despises immigrants is an evangelical who is self-defeating and self-loathing. Most of the body of Christ on earth now, not to mention in heaven, is not white, is not middle class, is not American, and doesn't speak English. That's what you would hear at Harvard in a class on politics.
Mm-hmm. Huh? That's why I say these folks are starting to lie about us like the pagans are.
Yeah. Anyway,
shame on this guy, man. I just
add that to Dr.
You had to get me going again, didn't
that
you?
add that to Dr. Russell Moore's greatest hits collection. That may be his single greatest hit right there. All right, Sandy Rios joins us. Sandy, we've been having Sandy sit around her house here and wait to be on with us for the last 10 minutes. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. That's our ministry, and she's a host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, weekdays at 7:05 Central Time in the morning. Sandy, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
I'm sorry.
I'm listening with, my heart is like thumping here. I'm just, I have to tell you, this is how I see this, if you want to know. Russell Moore, as I have said many times before, he is of that category of persons who is very dangerous because he sounds very solid theologically when he talks. He seems to make sense. But if you really listen, he drops in distortions on everything. Something makes sense, distortion. Something that makes sense, distortion. Something that makes sense, distortion. And I thought, well, maybe he just, he thinks he's very smart. Maybe he's just, his thinking is all messed up. But now, this is kind of the proof that this is intentional. This is the same argument he made on how the church, the Southern Baptist Convention specifically, allegedly, according to him, and according to all the seminars he holds for these young pastors, in the past, Southern Baptists have hated homosexuals. They have mistreated them. They have berated them. They've preached these fire and brimstone sermons against homosexuality, made them feel uncomfortable. The very people we need to reach, we have treated them badly. We've hated them. When I have to tell you, I was raised Southern Baptist. I went to a Southern Baptist university. In my entire life, I never heard a Southern Baptist pastor, and I've traveled a lot, as we all know, I have never once heard them. I can't even remember them preaching a sermon about homosexuality. They may have mentioned homosexuality in the context of other sexual sins, but that is a distortion. And based on that distortion, he has convinced the younger generation of Southern Baptist pastors that they shouldn't even speak about it because they make people feel badly. He's doing the same thing in immigration. They've been very effective. Where the Southern Baptist Convention was, what, 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just guess that number.
Yeah.
Very powerful, very powerfully conservative, weighing in on against certainly the policies of the federal government when they crossed biblical standards. And Russell Moore and his co-conspirators have managed to shift this whole thing so that the Southern Baptist Convention can no longer righteously claim God's word on these issues without being accused of hatred or bigotry. And It just so happens, and I have to add this, it just so happens that in their place, the moral compunctions that Baptists had about various things, in their place has come these three things. Racism, we are racists now. Also, women. They've treated women terribly. How disgraceful. And then thirdly, what was the third thing?
Immigration.
So,
no,
homosexuality.
There are millions, I guess, of Christians who despise immigrants because we're for border security.
Right.
He says we despise them.
Tim, let me just make this one last point I have to make. It just so happens that while Russell Moore is telling us we were too political in the past, too political.
Good
How
point.
Disgraceful. Right. Shame on you. He right. now embraces the very platforms of the Democratic left.
Yes.
While claiming not to be political.
Not on all issues. I mean, just put that in there. Dr. Russell Moore talking about.
I don't know what the exception is.
Well,
I don't see
the life issue, probably, I would say.
Well, so
and
far,
and some religious freedom issues they're good on. I'm talking about the URLs.
There's some things that they can't dare.
I know.
I can't dare speak out on yet.
Yeah. But it's been a radical change from Dr. Richard Land to Dr. Russell Moore. We used to work closely with Dr. Richard Land as he was in charge of the ERLC, and Dr. Moore came in, and his impact, Dr. Moore's, on young pastors in particular,
absolutely,
in the Southern Baptist Convention is noticeable. I've even heard sermons where, here's what they do now, if you'll listen, when it gets to be pro-life Sunday in January or something like that, where the Southern Baptists, like a lot of evangelical and Catholic churches, recognize sanctity of human life. They've started, the pastors have started taking their tips from Russell Moore, and what they'll do, they'll talk about the pro-life issue. Ray, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. We're going to get back to you in just a minute. But if they talk about the life issue, they're right on that issue, and then they're going to throw in refugees.
Yes.
Notice it. It's almost like I can tell you, if I'm listening to a Southern Baptist pastor 45 years old or under, and he's preaching a pro-life message, you just wait, and he's following Dr. Russell Moore's lead. They're going to drop in unborn, protect innocent human life. Then they're going to throw in their refugees. I'm going, where'd they get that from? They got that from the Talking Points memo from Dr.
If you're really pro-life, you're going to let refugees in.
Yep. Oh, that's been said.
Yes.
What now? What'd you say?
Right. If you're really pro-life, you're going to let refugees in.
And they do that when we're talking about the unborn.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Tim, you just disproved your point. You see how they're distorting that issue?
You sound like my wife.
Well, that would be an honor to sound like your wife.
That, Sandy.
Wow, that was great.
Allison, my lovely,
you know,
talented wife.
One last point, perhaps. There's only one way to stop this. If you're a Southern Baptist, you have to stop giving money that's directed towards this Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
Give it to something else.
Make sure
give
your
it to
pastor,
missions
your
or something
deacons,
else.
They should know about this.
Now, where can people get this article we're talking about?
All right, this is a Christian Post article, and I believe...
It's on our Facebook page?
Yes. Read it for yourself, folks.
Yeah, read it for yourself. The title of it is, Over 80 Evangelical Leaders Call for Restitution-Based Immigration Reform, and it's from the Christian Post. And again, I don't mind having it. Nobody here has minds having a debate on what to do about illegal immigration.
Right.
Okay? And they may have some good ideas, these guys, on how to deal with this. That's not the issue we're talking about here. We're talking about the way Dr. Russell Moore frames the issue, that if you're against his ideas on letting illegal immigrants in here with a pathway to citizenship, then you despise them.
Yes. You despise immigrants. All immigrants.
Yeah, and basically you're a racist because you think
again.
Only white people are getting to heaven.
Right.
And only English is going to be spoken.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
Middle class, too. Yeah. You're middle class.
All right. Shame it's on our you. Today's Issues Facebook page. Sandy, thank you for joining us. Have a great day. And
thank you, Tim.
You weren't exactly a calming influence, Sandy.
Well, right. Listen, I was on top of my desk while you were talking.
I know. I
thought inspirational.
When
thank
we
you.
Mentioned Dr. Russell Moore and we got Ed tag teaming with Sandy, I don't think there's any room for any of the rest of us to talk. Yeah. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate
it. Okay, my pleasure. Talk to you soon.
And let me... Just see, I do feel the need to say this. Nobody is saying that Dr. Russell Moore is not a Christian. I'm not saying that.
And I'm not saying that either.
I take it, Ed, to your very early point. If Russell Moore wanted to come on AFR and talk to us, we'd still talk to him, right?
Hey, listen, let me just tell you this. I'm just going to add this. He wrote a book here about a year or so ago. His publicist sent us a copy of the book with a request for an interview. Apparently she didn't know who we were and the fact that Russell Moore despises us. We said, great, let's have him on. Well, we heard back. We told them.
About a day or two before the interview.
Yes, wow. The publicist contacted us. She said, Dr. Moore is busy that day. So we knew what was going on. Dr. Moore said, well, who we got this week? American Family Radio. No, you're going to cancel that. So we said back to her, we said, anytime he's available,
right,
we will rearrange our schedule so we can talk to Dr. Moore. We never heard back from her.
Nope. Right, and that's true. That's true. So that we had a standing invitation, so when they were going to promote his book, they wanted to be on until a day or two before.
Yeah.
And then, right, that's what happened. They canceled. But nobody's saying he's not a Christian. I'm sure he's a fine man. He's got a great family, and it's obviously very smart. None of that's a question here.
We're talking about tactics.
We're talking about tactics, and we are talking about truth.
Yes.
And the way, and you did use the word slander.
I consider that slander is what he said.
Yeah.
Well, he's the one who used the word despises.
Yes.
Right? That is an inflammatory.
And it's not going to be just whites in heaven, you bigots. I mean, this is down in the gutter. And if somebody talk like that, then if they're going to say we got a problem with the way Trump talks.
Yes.
I mean, it's what I'm saying?
I know.
Because he's a never-Trumper, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Russell Moore.
But he didn't mind texting out a picture of him when he met with President Obama.
He wasn't a never-Obama.
He was no, sir. He was in a meeting with President Obama and sent out, I don't know, his Instagram or tweet or whatever, a picture of him
smiling
in the office.
In the Oval Office, meeting with President
Come
Obama.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. All right. There's the music. So Fred,
I got to go walk around somewhere.
Yeah, all right.
Cool off.
Fred, thank you.
All right. Good to be here.
Okay. Steve Jordahl will be joining us momentarily. And we're going to let Ray have 30 or 40 words.
It's good.
I'm going to shut up for the next half hour.
We're going to try to. Coffee's probably not good for you to drink right now.
Or Diet Coke.
Try
I'm going to go walk outside where it's 19
okay,
degrees.
Okay. Take some deep breaths.
Yeah.
Walk outside in the 19 degree. With the wind chill.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us, everybody.